Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Hey, Houston, you're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Thanks, Spence. Summer of the Bees, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
It ain't easy being bees.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not that.
Oh.
Largo said Munsters of the Midday. What, who were the Munsters of the Midday? I can't remember. Was that a
show here?
I think it was on. I think it was on 790.
Was it?
I think. What was Munsters of the Midday, Largo? That's a blast from the past. There.
Munsters or is Monster?
Monsters? Monsters. Sumi, Ime, or Imi, you call them? I think.
I guess I've been called out for that.
Munsters of the Midday. Who were the Munsters of the Midday? I can't remember. I want to say it was like Brad Davis.
Oh wow, that is a blast from the past.
I think
was
it
was Brad and Greg.
I don't know if it was Greg. 713-780-3776. Help us out with that. All right, Bobby Slowick, offensive coordinator for Houston Texans. Real quick, by the way, hearing Matt Burke talk, I went back and listened to all these press conferences yesterday. Listening to Matt Burke talk, I think he's going to call plays. I feel like he's going to call plays for the Houston Texans.
Really?
That's my read of the situation. Like he's taking ownership. Like he's talking about how he's getting them in everything that they do. Like, and I know that it's only OTAs and there's right. still plenty that can change between now and then. But to me, he sounds like a man who's going to be calling defensive plays for the Houston Texans. Just my read on it.
I'm not going to say that I hope not, and I'm not going to say I'd be disappointed in that. But my expectation all along has been that. That DeMeco would be the guy to call the plays like he did in San Francisco, and that would give them the best. And we saw Lovey do it here, whether we agreed with it or not. But I think he'd be, you know, the only reason why I could see him not doing it is there's too many responsibilities he has to worry about as a head coach. Then I completely, if he says that, I totally get it. I just would expect him to keep doing what he's doing and doing well when he came from San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I just kind of feel that way. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, I've been wrong many, many times before. I've been right more than most of you guys, but I've been wrong a lot too. I'm just kidding. 713-780-ESPN. Here's what Bobby Slowick talked about yesterday about CJ Stroud, how he's been early so far in OTAs.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Really, all the rookies in general came into, like, from the get-go with a mindset of they were going to attack this thing. I mean, they've all been mentally in the classroom. They've been getting after it as far as putting the time in. They came to work. They've been buying into what we're telling them to do on the field. Again, it's similar to what Burke had just said when he was talking about the overall philosophy. Like, everything we do really as a football team starts from minutia and grows up into an offensive side of the ball and then from there into the team. And there's a lot of fundamentals and techniques that go along with that at every position. So quarterback, receiver, back, all the way across the offense. And they've all really came in and attacked it as a group, which is probably one of the coolest things to see with CJ is it's not just him alone. They're all doing it together. And he's been awesome. He's been putting the work in. They've all been coming in for some extra work and doing stuff on their own when they're away from here.
How long is this Bobby Slowick cut? How long did Bobby Slowick just speak on our airwaves?
A minute.
A minute of Bobby Slowick? Is there a dude more boring than Bobby Slowick?
Is there?
Are we're there on a level of 1 to 10. How boring is Bobby Slowick?
Are they? I mean.
Most boring being a 10.
5. He's all right.
5?
He gave you information.
I think for a coach, he's 5.
He's like, an 8 or a 9.
If he'd given you nothing with BS and coach speak, he gave you at least some details.
Go listen to Matt Burke. Matt Burke has a lot more entertainment value than Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick is boring, man. That's like an 8. 713-780-3776.
Can they come in and work as much as they want?
How boring is Bobby Slowick? I would think, yeah.
Because he kind of eased up on that. Like, you know how they say they limit hitting and they let I was wondering if they also limit the amount of time that you can have the guys.
I think under their direction they do.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a time restraint on them coming in and working out on their own.
Because if you listen to that, it sounded like almost like he was part of it, like they came in for extra work. And I'm sure the coaches love that and be like, yeah, I'll go out on the field with you. Yeah, we can work on this. But we can't tell anybody that we're doing these things because we're only supposed to be doing it this amount of time.
I didn't even catch that because he lulled me to sleep with his boringness. Okay. A minute of boringness from Bobby Slowick. What's your biggest question that you have there? Because, look, it's exciting that the rookies are coming in and playing football and getting on the practice field here at NRG. It's very fun. What is your one question, though? Like, if you could answer, anybody could. One question that you have about Bobby Slowick's offense going into 2023, what would it be?
I'd be curious how he's going to handle the running game. Yeah. I'd be curious about what he's coming from with the way that they used such a rotation and got so creative with their running backs. And you look at what he has here in Houston, and based on what he wants to run versus the personnel that he has, I think that's kind of why they went out and got a younger free agent as opposed to hoping that the Fighting Rex Burkhead had a little gas left in the tank. But I'd be curious how he's going to use the running backs. Does he look for running back by committee? Is he going to look for Pierce to be just the bell cow, or is he going to mix it up? And how much is he going to use the other backs in the stable?
I'm really curious with the running game, too, because I think the running game has a chance to be good for a variety of different reasons. One, I think Damian Pierce had a really good rookie year. Now, he had some duds of a game. I don't know if that's really on him as much as it was on the offensive line and team's game planning against
the Texans. I was
going to
say, there's a lot of focus on him because he was head and shoulders their best player.
Like, who are you going to if you're a defensive coordinator going up against the Houston Texans next year, what is the one thing that you need to stop? The running game. You're going to force Davis Mills to beat you. And they have zero, weapons in terms of the wide receiver room, too, especially when Brandon Cooks wasn't playing and didn't have a lot of interest in playing. So I'm bullish on Damian Pierce. I think Pierce has a chance to be really good in his second season. I think Devin Singletary for a backup running back is really solid. I don't think he's going to, I've seen some unrealistic expectations for Devin Singletary. I think Devin Singletary is really solid as an RB2 for the Houston Texans.
I like him as a weapon, too.
Absolutely.
Because that's why I want to know how he's going to use his running backs, because I think he could be a weapon.
The biggest thing that would make me optimistic, because we're always optimistic with the Killer Bees, the one thing that would make me the most optimistic about the Houston Texans running game is go look at San Francisco dudes and play callers and offensive minds and any coordinator from this type of system. They all have good running games. Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike, invented the undrafted free agent running for 1,000 yards every single year. Kyle Shanahan had a stable of guys, even before they traded for Christian McCaffrey, that were capable of running for 1,000 yards every single year. We talked the other day about Miami's running backs and they have some decent guys there. Mostert, Jeff Wilson, they drafted A-Chain, so you can't really include them in this conversation yet. But they were a threat running the football. To me, it's more about the scheme that Bobby Slowick is potentially bringing in here that makes me more excited about the running attack of this team, maybe more than the personnel.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I said I think we're on the same page. Just how you're going to utilize and what you're going to try and do in terms of not just balance, but, we saw a very, very vanilla offense for the last several years. And you can say it's a variety of reasons, from a first-time rookie quarterback last year with Davis Mills to not having the personnel as well to be able to do some of the things that maybe a more creative offensive coordinator would like to do. I'm sure that's what Pep Hamilton would like you to believe. But now, coming from a Shanahan system in San Francisco and coming from all the different ways they like to open it up and get guys in motion and get guys in space, I'm very, very interested to see what he does and what he feels like he'd like to do versus he can do with the personnel that he has.
The question that I would have for Slowick, and maybe it's because I feel like this running game is going to be good because of a lot of different variables, Pierce, Singletary. I'm curious about this Volladay kid that they drafted or they signed as an undrafted free agent. I think I don't know what to expect from him. He could not make the team. I think he's got a shot. The offensive line should be decent enough against the running, the run blocking to create holes and lanes for Pierce to run for over 1,000 yards. So maybe it's because I'm confident that the running game is going to be good, that's not my question. My question's almost, and I think we've kind of recycled this conversation, is how do these receivers in this receiving core that you have, what is the plan with like to attack with those guys? Because I think that they have some similar players, like Mechie and Tank Dell. Like, they're better slot guys. I think they're capable of being on the outside, but that's not their strength. Robert Woods, what does he look like as a veteran? Nico Collins, how do they implement them? So I'm really curious. And then you have C.J. Stroud, who's the rookie quarterback. So the biggest question that I would have for a Bobby Slowick offense is, what does the aerial attack look like? What is, how many times are you throwing the ball with C.J. Stroud? Who's getting the target shares when C.J. Stroud is throwing the football? Like, I'm fascinated by that, and I have no idea where it's going
to
go.
I would also add to that how you're going to implement Dalton Schultz, because I think that having a guy like George Kittle in the offense in San Francisco, absolutely. Now you've got a guy that may not be George Kittle, and he may not block like George Kittle, but the fact is he can get open like George Kittle, and in space he can do some things that help your offense. And so I'm curious, because the tight end was basically a forgotten position over the last several years here in Houston. I'd be curious to see with Dalton Schultz now how they're going to implement the tight end, and again, how many looks he's going to get and how he's going to help to open up the offense.
Who would you predict leads this team in catches?
I've said, I mean, I'm in the minority, but I think Schultz might be that guy.
I don't think it's the minority. I think that might be the most popular
answer. I started out by saying
it
when we had the conversation the first time, and I said, and I was even hesitant to say it, thinking about the different guys that they might focus on trying to get the ball to. But the more that we talk about it, the more I believe that Dalton Schultz is going to be right up there.
Where's DeAndre Hopkins on this leaderboard?
On another team.
So Schultz, what do you think, Joe George? Who do you think is going to lead the Texans in catches?
It's hard to say, because like my gut reaction is Mechie.
See, that's where I'm leaning.
But like I don't know. This the hamstring or hip, whatever it is right now, is a little concerning. But I would probably lean Mechie.
I'll go Schultz for touchdowns and Mechie for catches.
No, I think Schultz for touchdowns makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because he's going to be your red zone target. He's a big body.
Oh, he's
Mechie, I think, is going to have trouble scoring touchdowns.
He's shifty,
that
too,
are like inside the 10.
In the end zone.
Kind of powerful. Oh. I think so. What's your one question that you have for Bobby Slowick offense?
Just what's your adjustment when you can't be successful with the offense you want to run?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like with these new coaches, for DeMeco or Matt Burke, whoever is going to be calling the plays, but like let's say it's DeMeco. For DeMeco and Slowick, like they're coming from arguably the best defense in the NFL, the 49ers, and some of the most explosive players for Kyle Shanahan's offense on the other side of the ball for the 49ers. So like when you try to implement those things and it doesn't work, like what's your adjustment?
I don't think you have one.
No, but you have
bang your head against the wall.
No, but you have to have an adjustment, because you have to run your offense for the talent you have.
But isn't this offense like supposed to be the most player friendly offense that exists? So like how are you dumbing it down, or how are you recreating it? Because I think that was like kind of the fascination of C.J. Stroud, is they feel like he is a good fit for this offense.
Yeah, and he should be in theory. I think it's
accurate,
more.
Yeah,
I think it's more like if you don't get any production, like high level production from your receivers, how do you adjust? Like what happens when your wide receivers can't get separation if they're not there?
You
like how
the ball 50 times a game?
Yeah. So I think that's
think
like
about
the biggest question.
Comments too. We're going to run the football, and we believe that to be a good football team, we got to run the football, and he wants to run the football. I think that's where I think a lot of people get cringeworthy comments to sit in their ears and not sit right. Was like, we've seen enough of trying to run the football, especially at inopportune times and inappropriate times, like Bill O'Brien did. I understand running the football. We want to see a little bit more of a wide open offense too.
It seems like the Munsters of the Midday's been scrubbed off the internet.
So,
it was John Lopez. He was on the Munsters of the Midday, and it looks like it was a Highway to Hell. Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't think it was Highway to Hell. Wasn't he at 790 first?
Was he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that.
I don't know.
I think,
man,
Joe really likes it because it goes back to his favorite football team.
It looks like Ted DeLuca. Maybe, does that name ring a bell?
I've heard the name.
Huh. Interesting. 713-780-ESPN if you can help us out. 713-780-3776. All right, I have two Astros would you rathers for us today. We were talking a little bit about the trade stuff a little bit earlier. This isn't trade stuff. This is kind of an old conversation, but a couple of would you rathers. And also, I saw some trade candidates for the Houston Astros. It's brutal. A couple of these names on this list, brutal. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pirate Radio with a license.
No woman ever slept with me and lived.
Welcome back, Houston. These guys missed you over the last break. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Something just came on my timeline from Royal Texan fan. I've got a man crush on Bobby Slowick. I could listen to him talk twice a week. Am I wrong that Bobby Slowick is just boring? Boring Bobby Slowick? I don't mind that he's boring, but am I wrong here? Am I misreading it?
I think people are just so excited that there's a fresh face with hopefully a fresh concept and attitude from what they've had to deal with from an offensive perspective for like 7 years.
I don't need my head coach to be excited or my offensive coordinator to be exciting. Like, I'm not saying let's liven them up. Like, I think Bobby Slowick has a chance to be a really good OC. Just sounds a little boring is all I'm saying. 8410, does this show accept calls bashing the Wave? We accept all calls. We don't care. Yeah. I think it's silly to bash the Wave because if you're paying money, you can do whatever the heck you want. And the Wave is harmless and whatever.
Found out Big Clarence is on board with Dr. Dre in extreme hatred for the Wave. They want to get t-shirts. Stop the Wave.
I think you can do that on another channel on this station.
Is that right?
505, I believe so. 5044. Should we be satisfied if the offense averages 21 points a game for the Houston Texans? Love the show. Middle of the day, guys. My y'all rock. 3 exclamation points.
Didn't he also said, yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
How many points did the Texans average last year? Like, I don't think 21 points a game was around league average. I think
enough? But I guess, you know what? Looking at it with a rookie quarterback and all the different ways we've highlighted rookie quarterbacks don't normally have success in the NFL, if they could put up 21 points a game, I think I'd be okay with that for the first year of the CJ Stroud era.
I think the average points in the NFL last year was like 22, somewhere around there.
Okay.
If they scored 21 a game, I think that they would be doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, fine. I'm curious how many points they scored a game last year. It had to have been like in the teens, right?
I was going to say like 16, 17.
They scored 17 points a game last year.
Okay.
17 points a game. So that would be a pretty good upgrade. You're doing it with a rookie quarterback. I would be cool with 21 points a game. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would be good with 21 a game.
I think that's more than acceptable, like I said, with Stroud in his first year and with a new offensive coordinator and a new offense and a lot of young players. I'd be great with that.
4431. Here's his question for Bobby Slowick. What's your question for Bobby Slowick? Boring Bobby Slowick. 713-780-3776. How is he going to get playmakers like Tank Dell in the open field? That's a really good question. We think that's going to be his strength. We think that the strength of Bobby Slowick coming from the San Francisco Shanahan tree, we think the strength of Slowick is getting playmakers in space.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mentioned earlier when we started talking about the topic. Look, one of the keys to Shanahan's offense being so successful is putting his best players not only with their hands on the football, but putting them in with the best chance to succeed, which is to get them in open space or get them moving so they can find open space. And that's what he's been able to do with Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey. And we knew McCaffrey wasn't every down between the tackles running back, but the way you utilize him best is to get him moved around to where defenses have to adjust. I'd be curious not that they have the same weapons here as they do in San Francisco, but they have enough guys with true speed and talent that it is going to be fun to watch, hopefully him using them and getting him in space.
I would look more at like the Eli Mitchells of the world, the Jeff Wilsons of the world, the Debo Samuel maybe, Ayuk, and how they utilize those guys than talking at their top-level players.
Their third receivers, Jennings too?
Greg Jennings, I think, yeah.
I think it is Greg Jennings.
I think it's another dude named Greg
Jennings. But they find a way to get him, that they'll move him around, but he gets a lot of from just over the middle routes to slants. They get him in a lot of good positions to get chunk yards.
It's not Greg Jennings. It's Jawan Jennings.
There you go.
There you go. They also have Willie Snead on their roster. Didn't realize that. All right, I have two would-you-rathers for the Houston Astros today. One of them's an old conversation. We have to bring it up today because the Twins just left town. Would you rather have Carlos Correa or Jeremy Peña? Carlos Correa is on the first year of a six-year, $200 million deal. He's hitting .211 with a .682 OPS. Peña's in the second year of 6 years of club control, minimum dollars right now, and he's hitting .251 with a .746 OPS. Would you rather have Carlos Correa or Jeremy Peña?
It's an easy one for me. It's Jeremy Peña because of the price tag. I think that because of the fact that you've got a guy that isn't Correa defensively, but I think that is underrated still no matter what he did last year in the Gold Glove and all the things that he, the accolades he received. I think he's still underrated defensively because we've seen Carlos Correa's arm and the entire body of work that he performed here as a shortstop. But I think that when you look at him having a better average, we talked about the other day the surprising thing that he's the second on the team in home runs, and the way he goes about his business, and you have him at a very cheap price for a long period of time. I think as much as this was a difficult decision at the time to see Correa leave, I think right now it's an easy decision for me to say the better guy for this team is Peña.
It's kind of interesting how quickly things change in a span of what, 15 months, where this is a no-brainer. Like, this is silly. They even have this conversation. Of course the answer is Jeremy Peña. He's producing better offensively, considerably better offensively, and he's making a minimum salary while Carlos Correa is making over $30 million a year. Yep. Slam dunk Jeremy Peña, which if you said this, 16 months ago, they would have Jeremy Booth'd you out of town.
Yeah.
All right, here's the second would you rather. Did you want to get in on this, Joe George?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is just knowing everything we know about the ankle and the reason why the Giants and the Mets pulled out of these contracts. It's like for the now, for the future, for everything. It's money, it's health, like just longevity. Peña is the answer.
The injuries, we didn't bring that up. It's a good point because like now it makes it even more of a slam dunk. Like it makes it even more of a no-brainer.
Peña's missed, one game this season? Two games? I think and they're rest days.
Well, it was a rest day. He was one of the only guys that hadn't sat out a game all year. And they finally sat him down.
And like what he missed last year because he, made a miscue and he got, run over by a truck in Yordan Alvarez.
Did he land on the IL for that?
I don't think he did.
It was like that thumb injury that landed him on the IL.
He just missed a couple of games after he probably had a concussion from Yordan Alvarez's kneecap.
And Yordan Alvarez acted like he did get hit by a Mack truck.
I mean, they pretty much collided full speed. That was gnarly.
Yordan Alvarez.
Don't say it.
I'm not.
No, Yordan does what Yordan wants.
Yordan rules is Yordan rules. Yordan can do whatever he
wants. Yordan does what Yordan
wants. That's Yordan rule number one. Yordan does whatever Yordan wants to do. All right, here's the second would you rather. And this one, on the days after Hunter Brown pitched and gave up a career high in runs that he's ever given up in his career, would you rather Hunter Brown or Justin Verlander? Verlander, the first year of a two-year, $86.5 million deal, which, by the way, can be a third year at $35 million if it vests, 140 innings next year. He's 2-2 with a 4.80 ERA and five starts, 6.5 strikeouts per nine. Hunter Brown, first year of 6 years of club control, 5-2 record, 3.61 ERA, even after his worst outing of his career yesterday, in 11 starts and is averaging over 10.5 Ks per nine. Would you rather Justin Verlander or Hunter Brown?
To me, again, easy decision, and it's Hunter Brown. It's because of the fact that if we're not seeing the end very, very, very near, Verlander had a rough start, but it's as much the health as it is the performance, because I know that PC jumped the gun one night talking about Verlander giving up bombs because he gave up a bomb in the first inning, and then he out-battled Bieber and Cleveland and beat him 2-1 and threw a gem the rest of the way. He's capable. But at that price, especially when the one thing that you do have more of than the resources to make trades is you have enough money now where you can go out in free agency and look to get guys. I don't think you just want to be giving away these $30, $40 million contracts because you know that a Tucker situation is going to come up. Whether you replace him or you sign him, you're going to have to pay him. You know that Bregman and Altuve are coming up too. I think that what we've seen from the sample size we've seen of Hunter Brown is more than enough to think he doesn't have to be the next Justin Verlander, but if he's just the best Hunter Brown that we've seen, he'll be just fine.
The savings are great. You're able to sign, Jose Abreu and Michael Brantley and Rafael. No, I'm kidding. But it's funny, though, because, we brought up this notion last September, and people thought we were crazy. Like, people thought we were nuts. Like, we were saying, don't pay the man. People thought we were crazy. Here we are 15 months later. Jeremy Peña is the easy answer. Question number two. I think question two is a little bit more difficult. Hunter Brown, Justin Verlander. Maybe not, though. Like, is anybody picking Justin Verlander over Hunter Brown right now?
No.
No, you
I
know
think
why?
It's easy, right?
Excuse me, Joe, real quick, though, but the one thing that I don't think that we mentioned just in that first part of it is, it'd be nice if you said, hey, the difference between the two of them is when you give Justin Verlander the ball to be your ace when you need him most in the playoffs, he's
going
to go do it, and then he didn't do it.
Yeah, look, I know for a fact that Justin Verlander chokes in the World Series. I don't know if Hunter Brown does.
It's messed up.
Sorry, it's a fact.
Is it a fact that he chokes in the World Series?
You call people soft, but A choker is hard.
I don't think he chokes, though. Like, he's been he okay.
He just gets tanked.
I mean, what is his World Series ERA? Like, 4.5?
Yeah, that's the problem. He got his first World Series win last year, and he didn't even pitch that well.
A lot of that was, like, unluck, though. Like, unlucky.
It wasn't
like,
he had a couple of World Series, though. He wasn't great.
Well, his career numbers in the playoffs are pretty good.
They're pretty good.
His career World Series numbers are not that good.
For sure. You can't deny it. But, like, in the World Series last year, when you needed him most, he started game one of the World Series, and he was a disaster.
It's true.
And then he wasn't great in the start. He got a win. So it's like, I think Hunter Brown, he might not do that in the World Series this year. Yeah. I know Justin Verlander will get shelled.
And if you're paying $45 million a year to have a guy you're not sure.
And he's almost 40.
Yeah.
He's almost 40.
And he had another injury to start the year.
All right, see, this is what we learned. The Killer Bees are going to tell you now what you're going to think in 16 months, in 12 months, in 6 months. We're never wrong. We're just early.
So what is it?
Hunter Brown.
Well,
it's
no,
Jeremy
16
Pena.
Months from now.
Oh, what's the new one?
It's Drew Gilbert
I don't
know, over.
I haven't thought about it yet. Stroud.
Over Tucker.
Drew Gilbert over Tucker?
Over Tucker. Resigning
Tucker.
No, we're
not there yet.
No, because they're going to share an outfield for a couple of years.
I can't wait.
Tucker and Gilbert. They'll be in the same outfield for a couple of years. Because I think Gilbert's probably an opening day starter next year, perhaps.
Definitely.
In left? In left or in center?
I'm going to say center. And Jake's in left.
Oh, no.
If Jake and Drew
are starting in the same outfield, Jake's your center fielder.
You think so?
Better defensively. Jake's really good defensively.
You think he's better than Drew Gilbert in center field?
I don't know enough about Drew Gilbert defensively in center, but they're playing him a lot in right. And Jake Meyers right now is like a top three to top five defensive center fielder in baseball.
I mean, you only paid Brantley for one year. I think the answer to me is that those are your corner outfielders
of
the future.
I think who are your corner outfielders?
Gilbert and Tucker.
Well, it depends on how long the future is, because I don't think Tucker's here beyond 25.
Right. No, I'm not saying for the long term future, because you got a really big decision coming up with him. But I think that when they're in the same outfield, they're going to be your corner outfielder.
I think those are your outfielders next year: Gilbert, Jake, Tucker, and Chaz is your fourth.
Chaz is your fourth.
Is anyone going Correa over Pena? Is anyone going Verlander over Brown? 713-780-ESPN HRP listener line 713-780-3776. Also, when we return, who made the list of Bad Take Boulevard? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, great dude, but better at what he does medically, because what he does medically is change lives by getting results, by having people think that they don't have any solution for a problem, and then finding a way to fix it and make you better than ever. And that's what he does with the NeoGraft procedure. NeoGraft procedure, if you're not familiar, it's a procedure of getting your hair back. It's taking your own hair where you're never going to lose it, and genetically you're never going to lose it in the sides and the back, and then putting it where you need it most. It could be your hairline in front. It could be the bald spot on the top. It could be other areas. But the fact of the matter is, it's fixable. It's not the sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem. It's attacking the problem, getting rid of the problem, and putting your hair where you need it most. It's fantastic. And for you as ESPN 97.5 listeners, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville and his staff to see if the procedure might be right for you. That normally costs $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and set up an appointment. No obligation to you, no money out of your pocket, no expectations other than you're going to get all the information you need to see if a life-changing procedure is in your future. I did it. Granato did it. We rave about it because of the fact that it was painless. The results were almost immediate, that you could see the follicles there growing. And then in 6 to 9 months, when you saw the true results, you could not be happier with the way you look and how it makes you feel. The fact is, for me, the game changer was 95%+ of the follicles that are moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. I'm a big fan of Doc Linville and his staff, and a bigger fan of the NeoGraft procedure, and he's the best in the business at doing it. Go to 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and so is your wife.
When I buy my wife, hang like slave of wizard.
So many bad takes on sports. What do you do with all of them?
Only there is something in your head to control the things you say.
Well, the Killer Bees use them to build an actual street where they can get run over for all eternity. What's that street? Bad Take Boulevard.
Bad take.
Get Spencer a little bit of auto-tune. I see Spence. I didn't know Spence got down like that.
I didn't know a lot of different sides of Spence that I've found out since he started doing all of our voice work.
I haven't listened to that yet, so that was very surprising.
Cool remix at the end. Not bad. A lot of tune. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. All right, who made the list this week of Bad Take Boulevard? Yankee fans last year won our Bad Take Boulevard bracket. Last season, they were the winners of the Bad Take Boulevard bracket, right? For chanting, we want Houston, we want Houston. They wanted Houston so bad because they wanted to get swept out of the ALCS. Well, the Yankee fans have made their return to Bad Take Boulevard. Listen to the Yankee fans chanting at Fernando Tatis when he made a trip to Yankee Stadium last week. They're chanting steroids at Fernando Tatis, which would be funny. It would be kind of funny with Fernando Tatis getting PED suspension and had to miss a lot of time. But the Yankees don't realize that they haven't won a clean World Series since 1978 when Reggie Jackson was the straw stirring the drink. Houston Astro legend Reggie Jackson was on those Yankee teams. The Yankees haven't won anything clean since 1978. They won titles on Alex Rodriguez, who's like the poster boy for one of the poster boys for steroids. Robbie Cano, who got suspended for Major League Baseball. Hate to do it to you. Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit. The Yankees were capitalizing on steroids for years. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth and then start chanting and heckling Fernando Tatis for PED use when you won most of your World Series, some of your World Series titles because of steroid use.
You just
made the list.
They made the list.
We know that Yankee fans are just not that smart. And they just like to hear themselves chant and yell. And most of the stuff that they say is just absolutely ridiculous and ludicrous. And chalk this one up, too, because they're also just completely oblivious to how many steroid users they've had on their squad. I mean, throw Giambi on throw all the different guys that maybe they weren't caught, but just there's a lot of
guys. Allegedly.
But there's a lot of guys that had worn pinstripes that have been overpaid and maybe have had a little more than a little help to get the job done.
We won't even talk about the new stuff, the sticky stuff, and the relaying of the signs.
Garrett Cole and Herman and, I mean,
Luis Severino.
Yeah,
we won't talk about all that. But yeah, Yankee fans belittling Fernando Tatis, calling him steroids whenever they've won a lot of their titles on steroids. All right, here's Scottie Pippen, NBA legend Scottie Pippen, with a couple of bad takes in this one soundbite.
LeBron will be the greatest statistical guy to ever play the game of basketball. And there's no comparison to him. None. So, does that make him the greatest player to ever play the game? I'll leave that out for debating because I don't believe that there's a great player because our game is a team game and one player can't do it. Like, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player. He was horrible to play with. He was all one-on-one. He's shooting bad shots. All of a sudden, we become a team and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was.
All right. Couple of bad takes for Scotty. He's getting crushed. He's getting crushed for the MJ part. LeBron James statistically is not the greatest player ever. Will Chamberlain is by far the greatest statistical player of all time. It's not even close.
He's basing it on points.
Will Chamberlain, didn't he have more points?
Oh, LeBron's has the most points in the history of the game.
He passed Kareem?
Yeah, this year.
That's my bad.
Yeah, this year. So, I mean,
he's still not better.
It's easy to say that, and then you can say that guys like Michael, who missed, 2 years playing baseball and almost a full season with an injury. There was all these different things where if you said, the ifs, buts, candies, nuts. So if you just want to base it on stats, yes, you have to tip your cap and say, absolutely.
LeBron, I still don't think it's better than Wilt.
But the whole concept that Michael Jordan was he basically said Michael Jordan was a terrible basketball player. Like, what the hell is wrong with you, Scotty?
I can tell you.
What?
I can tell you what's wrong with him.
He's bitter.
No, there's three things. He's bitter. Michael Jordan's son is smashing his ex-wife. Fact. And number three, Clutch Sports does this with all of their clients. Every single time someone signs with Clutch Sports, they go on the attack on Michael Jordan. And Scottie Pippen Jr. is represented by Clutch Sports.
Why do they do that? Why does Clutch do that?
Because it's the only thing they have. Like, they need their media mob.
They do it also because Clutch Sports is attached at the hip with LeBron. Because
it's LeBron's company. Huh. So it's like, but it's really, it's got to be about Michael Jordan's son is with Scottie's ex-wife.
I mean, that's got to be like,
I know The Last Dance started this.
Well, let's go there.
Come on.
Let's go there. That's that's the crux of the main part of this. Scotty was so pissed off and scorned by the way he was portrayed in The Last Dance. And they weren't wrong. Okay? Because when you look at it, and again, the other night when I mentioned that they ran the last three episodes of The Last Dance because the Nuggets swept the Lakers and there was supposed to be a game at that point. When you go back and look at the amount of times that Scotty just flat out didn't show up or quit or said there was an injury, and then after Michael left, when he pulled the same crap with Phil and the play wasn't called for him, he wouldn't go back in the game and all the other things that he did. I have said over and over for years and years, Scottie Pippen would not have been a top 50 player in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, without Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan buttered his bread and delivered everybody the sandwich that Scottie was able to capitalize on. I think Scottie's got a whole lot of bitter beer face because of the fact that he came out multiple times and was really upset about the way he was portrayed in The Last Dance.
He tried to call Phil Jackson. Like, honestly, there's something wrong with Scottie. 100%. Something set him off down a path that's like very bizarre, because Scottie Pippen since The Last Dance, around that time, has not been the same. He like out of nowhere tried to write a book and call Phil Jackson a racist. And honestly, Scottie Pippen's a coward, because when he wrote that book, like, I remember listening to his interview on the Dan Patrick Show in which he alludes to Phil Jackson being a racist, and Dan challenged him.
Oh yeah.
And he said, Scottie, are you calling Phil Jackson a racist?
I forgot about that.
And Scottie's response was, that's not for me to say. Dude, you're trying to allude to it. Like, stop being a coward. Like, Scottie is just, like, I will listen to a LeBron versus Jordan debate from 99% of the population. If your name is, yeah, Mitchell's fine. If your name is Skip Bayless or Scottie Pippen, I got no interest in talking LeBron, Jordan ever. Because they're so just like, you can't listen. And Nick Wright, too.
Nick Wright,
yeah, Nick Wright's a massive LeBron honk.
Scottie Pippen, you make the list. Not a lot of people follow college baseball. It's a niche sport. I love it, but I understand that it's a niche sport. They have their regional starting tomorrow. Lexington, Kentucky's hosting a regional. The Kentucky Wildcats are hosting a regional. The problem is that there's no hotels within an hour of Lexington because there's a country music festival going on. Oh, no. So the three teams that are going to the Lexington Regional, West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State, all their players and coaches are having to stay in dorm rooms at the University of Kentucky as they play.
You just made the list.
Kentucky. Lexington, Kentucky. You've made the list.
That's not ideal.
It's not great. You know what's even worse about
Kentucky's this? Obviously in it. They're hosting it.
They're hosting, but I mean, they're staying
in
their
own. It's a massive advantage, right?
Pretty big advantage. And what's also kind of like the financial element of this, too, is that whenever they rent out their dorms, that, you know, normally if you're staying in a hotel, you're paying the hotel.
Sure.
Staying in the UK dorms, you're paying Kentucky stay in the dorms.
Man. It's crazy they're making them pay there, like pay to stay there.
It is wild.
Honestly, because like, I would have told Kentucky, hey, you're putting these teams up for free if you want the tournament. But also, like,
I can't believe they allowed them to host. You're right.
I just would have not let them host.
You know what? They named the host cities right after the teams are finalized. There's no way that they had to pick Kentucky.
And you have to bid to be a host. Like, college baseball is a little differently because you're hosting at your own ballpark. You have to set a bid to host. So the NCAA saw the bid, saw that the rooms that they'd be staying in are dorms at Kentucky, and like, oh yeah, well, you're the SEC, and yeah, we'll let you have it.
But or maybe crazy. They didn't.
It's wild.
Or maybe they didn't put it in the bid, and then after they got
no, there's no way they didn't put it in the bid.
Did you guys ever?
No way.
You guys ever done the College World Series?
I will not go to Omaha until the Houston Cougars are in it.
Okay.
I get it.
Have not.
I went when I was younger, so the old stadium.
Johnny Rosenblatt.
It was like the coolest experience ever. Like, it was just.
I heard it's great.
It's so much fun. I want to go back. Like, it's so different than like really anything else you can go to.
I've heard great things. I dated a girl from Omaha that the entire town in college said every single year the entire city just caters to and can't get enough of everything College World Series.
What, is there any cities that you didn't date a girl?
I don't think that's any of your business. But
well, you brought it up.
That's how I knew
you
Omaha.
You brought it up.
That's how I knew Omaha.
You can't
knew
get mad
about
at
the
me
College
for,
World Series.
For poking
not mad
and prodding.
At you, I'm just saying.
You can't be mad at me for
I
being
a
little
a girl
nosy.
I dated a girl in college from Omaha and told me about how Omaha handles their business for the College World Series.
You can't
Series.
Just openly bring it up and be annoyed with me whenever I get a little nosy and curious.
There's nothing to do in Omaha during the College World
Series.
No,
other than that.
Besides that, and there's a museum or
Spaghetti Factory.
Spaghetti Factory.
Is one of their highlights. Yeah, there's like a
you get Italian in Omaha, Nebraska.
I don't know if it's like a river walk.
I have been to Omaha. I've been to Omaha in the winter.
Because their zoo is right by the stadium. Yeah. Yeah.
We played Creighton there at women's basketball. I have been to Omaha.
Yeah. Yeah, I went.
But it was during the winter. It was freezing. It was the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Absolutely. I got the one that I've got to add, which is the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons made Monty Williams, who's not a bad coach, but it, just by performance alone, is not the best coach right now in the NBA. They made him the highest paid coach in NBA history, and they gave him a 6-year, $78 million deal to coach the Detroit Pistons. Are you kidding me?
It's Detroit.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
What's the highest salary before that?
Well, Phil brought it up to 10, I think.
So he's getting 12. And that was Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
I wonder what the highest right now is.
And it can go, I bet you it's Ime.
No. Still, Monty's the highest in the
No, I meant before him.
Oh, before
him. I bet you it was Ime.
But what did Ime sign for? Did we ever get the numbers?
It was like 7 and change. So maybe, no, it's probably not. I bet you
Here's just quick Google. The Monty's $13 million. Greg Popovich is second at 11.5. Kerr is 9.5 in third. Spoelstra's 8.5 fourth. Carlisle is fifth at 7.25. It doesn't have Udoka on here, but they might not know the contract.
Right.
Have you seen any parameters on the contract?
I said Udoka was like averaged out at like 7.75.
Well, seven. Oh, that's right. I did see seven.
And
seven would be outside of the top five just barely.
And this contract, and Spoelstra's, what is Shams report that the contract can go to 8 years?
I bet you Spoelstra for $100 million.
They'll make Spoelstra the highest paid.
What was that, Joe?
Shams reported the contract can grow to like 8 years, $100 million.
Oh yeah. So much money.
It's Detroit.
That's ridiculous. At least
no one wants to go to that bum city.
But at least they're trying. I'll give them credit for that.
Are they still bankrupt?
Detroit?
Detroit declared bankruptcy a couple years ago. The
Pistons or the city?
The city.
Yeah.
They got an NFL draft.
Hey, I'll credit them for spending. I'll credit them for trying. All right. Would y'all pay my $500 fine if I stood up for you guys? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Apollo Men's Health can help you in a variety of ways. It's not just men either. Men and women are there on a daily basis, reaping the benefits of all the different services that are offered at Apollo Men's Health. It starts with all the different men and women that go there to get more energy in their life on a daily basis. And they can do that a multitude of ways. You can get a B12 shot weekly, or you can find out all the different ways that you can get hormone therapy and make sure that you have more energy to achieve all of your tasks from day to day. It's absolutely fantastic. Other people now are starting to go there for weight loss because of the fact that they have FDA approved semaglutide treatment, which can get you losing up to 6 pounds a week, which is a game changer for a lot of people that aren't really big on or wanting to get into the gym, but they'd love to take off some weight and live a healthier life. It's absolutely fantastic. It's another game-changing way Apollo Men's Health can help. Check them out today on their website, apollomh.com. Find out all the different ways that they may be able to help you too. If you see a couple of services that may interest you, set up a first appointment. All major insurances accepted, most major insurances accepted, I should say, with discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot or a body composition analysis on your first official visit. And then go in knowing that you're going to have some of the best people in the business trying to help you. But what they really need you to do is just be honest. Tell them where you're lacking. Tell them where you need some help. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. If you're not performing like your best, they will have you performing that way and better again real soon. Check them out today. They get your results. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
Bills are likely out of contention for DeAndre Hopkins, according to reports. That makes me happy. I don't want DeAndre Hopkins in Buffalo. It's probably that cold weather y'all were talking about.
Yep.
Probably the cold weather. I have too many Gabe Davis shares. I do not want another receiver in Buffalo. I heard an interesting rumor today, though.
Okay.
Sure. Hunter Brown's a June 1st cut goes to Buffalo to be the new Cole Beasley.
Wow. Renfro.
Who did I say?
Hunter Brown.
Yeah, Hunter Brown's on my mind. I was looking at my Twitter.
Renfro?
Hunter Renfro gets cut by the Raiders June 1st. He goes to Buffalo, is the new, better Cole Beasley. Frightening. That would be such a perfect fit.
What a great ad. Yep.
And they added the tight end, who I think is Dalton Kendrick, who I think is going to explode for the Buffalo Bills.
I still think the weather factor is the only thing that might actually squash this, but I think that if he's going to have to take less, which it seems like he's going to have to no matter where he does, looking at some of the...
Who's that?
Hopkins. I think Hopkins is going to go to Kansas City, and I think that they need a wide receiver one.
There's a lot of steam about the Patriots. A lot of steam about the Texans.
But, you know, it's kind of like Harden, too. You have to define... It's tough until the player tells you or shows you what he's really all about. If he's just all about money and being a wide receiver one and those, you know, more of a self-centered approach to it, well, there's nothing wrong with that, but then he'll go to a team like the Patriots. If he wants to win, knowing he's not going to get that top dollar, but he can also, by having a really good year, prove and earn more big-time contracts.
I think there's three teams.
I think Kansas City, to me, makes the most sense.
I don't think he's going to go to Kansas City. I think it's Cleveland, Houston, or New England. I think it's one of those three for Hopkins. I don't think that Kansas City is going to bring in Hopkins. I really don't.
I think Dallas may like what they have, but they got to find a way to get money.
Dallas is a good one.
Because, again, now you take the cold weather out of it.
Yep.
You play indoors where he's played his whole career.
And if family's a big deal in Houston, it's only 3.5 hours away.
Right. And, you know, in the NFC, when you don't have the gauntlet you have in the AFC, he's got a chance, especially playing alongside a CD Lamb with the receivers that they have. He's got a chance. And with pressure on McCarthy, he'd love it.
I don't think Kansas City likes the star receiver approach. I really don't. I think that they like to spread it out. I don't think that they have to deal with one dude.
Without a true one, Jeremy, I think they focus even more on Kelsey.
I think that they love Kadarius Toney. I think that they love Sky Moore. I think that they want a total balanced attack. And Kelsey's their one.
But that's what I'm saying. But now, because you had Juju and others that kind of at least drew some attention away from just focusing on Kelsey, I think that Reed's going to be real careful about all the attention going on Kelsey. And because he doesn't have another veteran, more of a possession receiver, because the guys you mentioned, and I know that they love Moore and they do like what they've got since they traded for Toney, I think they need a guy that's like a more of a possession receiver with great hands that would be perfect for Mahomes. And that's why I think he makes so much sense there, except for if he doesn't want to play in the weather.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. It'll be interesting. 713-780-ESPN, this texter. 1029, he says, Omaha has a casino on the river in Council Bluffs, Iowa. If the casino's in Council Bluffs, Iowa, I don't think Omaha has the casino. Like, it might be drivable.
It's close by.
It's close. But if you're telling me the casino is in Iowa, Omaha doesn't have a casino. You might be able to visit the casino when you're in Omaha.
That's right.
And bet responsibly.
You can take an Uber. You don't even have to take a cab or rent a car.
And if you're drinking, take an Uber, please. 713-780-3776. So, according to a Major League Baseball source, Astros paid the $500 fine that hitting coach Alex Cintron was going to have to pay for arguing with the home plate umpire, Jerry Lane, the other night. I didn't realize that a fine was attached to an ejection. I'm learning this. I didn't know. I didn't know that there was a fine attached to just a routine ejection. So anyways, the Astros pulled up money. They paid a $500 fine for Alex Cintron. If I got you guys and Joe Steps out of the room whenever we need them, if I took the heat for you, like something was happening, I got ejected because I was standing up for you, would you pay? I'm not going to say $500 fine. Would you pay my $50 fine? Because I'm standing up for you. And I had to, maybe it's a parking ticket, whatever. But I'm standing up for you some way, somehow. I had to pay $50. Would you pay my fine?
I would.
You're a better man than me. I wouldn't pay yours.
That's fine. I didn't expect you to. But I definitely would. Because, I mean, I think I'd like to believe I'm a man of integrity. But I think that, especially if you give those parameters and it's actually to support me, then I think that absolutely and for sure that would be something I would do.
Would you pay a fine for a buddy? Let's go $50 because we're not big league.
Yeah, 50's fine.
And like our listeners aren't making, you know, Major League Baseball money. Would you pay a $50 fine for a friend who was sticking up for you, who bailed you out of trouble, who came to your defense? Would you pay somebody's $50 fine? 713-780-3776. I do like that the Astros did this for Cintron, though. He was standing up for the hitters. And like, hey, let's pull $25 a pop and let's pay for Cintron's fine so our hitting coach isn't out $500.
Well, and of course, they're in a different tax bracket and make a whole lot more money. And this isn't the first time this has happened. I remember back in the day when Van Gundy went to bat for Yao hard and got technicals, got fined by the league, and then went public with comments about that. And you see right away what kind of locker room you have. Because the teams that are quick to do this, you have a very tight locker room, and you realize that there's a togetherness factor that's big. The teams that just shy away from it and the teams that have the guys that go, that's not anything. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Kind of tells you all you need to know about the player and the locker room.
King of Twitch says he would pay someone to find me. That's not very nice, King of Twitch. I thought we were boys. Joe, would you, now that you're back, would you pay either Blankers or I $50 if we stood up for you? We went to defense for you.
What did you do?
See, that's the difficult part. One of us said that we would pay the fine for each other. Which one of the two do you think it was?
We'll do radio. So,
which of the two do you think it was? Which of the two do you think it was, real quick? One of us said that we would pay for the fine of the other. The other one said that we wouldn't pay for the fine for the other. Which of the two do you think it was?
Yeah, I'm interested in your answer here, Joe.
Joel said he would pay the fine.
That's right. Oh, we got it right. Absolutely right. We got it right. What do you think? I'm frugal? I'm cheap?
What's the,
well, the latter.
You'd be right.
Yeah.
So if I'm sticking up for you, Jeremy.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a parking ticket or some reason. Like, I don't know how.
No, it's okay. Easy.
Yeah.
So someone calls in.
Yeah.
And says, Joe George is the worst producer on the station.
Uh-huh.
And Jeremy, it really upsets you because you're defending me.
Yeah, I would do that.
And you drop the F-bomb and we don't dump
it. That would never happen.
And we don't dump it.
It just wouldn't happen.
We get an FCC violation.
Do you get fined for FCC violations?
The station does.
Yes.
But does the host or does the station just pick it up?
The station.
I think the station picks it up. So that's why it's like it doesn't totally work.
Depends on the station.
Yeah.
Depends on the host.
It depends on the host. Yeah, they might make you pay it, Jeremy. Joel, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like if you had to pay an SEC fine for defending me.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I would pay it.
Okay. All right.
It just depends on where you're defending me from.
You damn well would pay mine.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
Would you do that for a friend? Would you do that for a friend? 713-780-ESPN.
Well, it depends if they deserve it or not.
That's why you wouldn't pay it. We're not friends.
It just depends on if they deserve it. Like if they deserve the fine or whatever it is. Like, would you bail all your friends out of prison?
It depends on what friends.
I can tell you right now.
Let's say they drank too much in an Astros game, didn't drive, but just got, like, put in the tank.
If it was Screech, yes. If it was Guy, no.
Are those your friends?
Maybe. You've met them.
Screech?
You've met Guy.
Is his real name Guy?
Yes, Guy's real name is Guy. Screech's real name is Bobby.
Does he look like Screech?
Yeah, that's why his name's Screech.
Okay, well, I didn't know that could be a variety.
You didn't change that after Screech got, and like canceled?
He was in porn and then he got canceled. And
yeah.
Dustin Diamond. And then he died.
Didn't he die?
Yeah.
I was wondering when you all were going to get there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe lead with that part?
Well, I'm trying to remember the details, so I didn't want to like. I want to be careful about what we said.
We kill people all the time on this show. We think people are dead when they're not. We think people are alive when they're not.
That's true.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. Would you help out your friend? If they stood up for you, would you pay their fine? Whatever the situation is. 713-780-3776. Mark DeRosa of MLB Network, he had some thoughts about Jose Altuve, perhaps the greatest second baseman of all time. Where do we think Jose Altuve ranks amongst the greatest second baseman of all time? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
We're ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, not the home of the Houston Texans. Not sure they even like us.
Rock and roll!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.